with us. And again, obviously, the word got out, and that's why you're all here. Excuse me. I'd like to pray before Pastor comes forward. Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you that your word is life to every one of us. And we thank you that as Pastor shares tonight, that your word does not return void, but it does accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. We'll just praise you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Psalm 103. Let's flip our Bibles over there. Psalm 103. We're talking about God's ways, reconciling God's sovereignty with His promises and His promises with our lives. And we began the introduction. That's funny, isn't it? We began the introduction last week, and I intend to finish it this week. But we're laying some groundwork. We haven't even gotten into the nitty-gritty of God's ways. We're laying some groundwork for this, but I'm giving you a hint about these things. Psalm 103, I want to begin with verse 1, and we're going to deal again with this introduction called Hide and Seek. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And here's verse 7. Here's what we want to get to. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. We talked last week about this, how God did some things where the children of Israel, 2 million Jews, saw His acts, but they didn't understand His ways. And if you don't understand the ways of God, then you don't know how God will act in the future. You're guessing. You're going off of logic and reason, and you're going to be hit and miss all the time. But notice Moses understood His ways. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Moses, don't you? I'm going to show you how to do that tonight. Now flip over to Psalm 95. That was our other foundational text. Psalm 95, and picking it up at the 6th verse. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Verse 7, 95:7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, everybody say today.
Today.
You know, it doesn't matter when you read that. It's always today. Did you know that? It's never yesterday, never tomorrow. Whenever you read that, God's talking to you right now. Today, God says, if you will hear His voice. You may have missed last week, but you came on the right night. You know why? Because God's saying right now, today, if you will hear His voice. If you will hear His voice. You may have been here last week and not caught this, but now you're catching it because God's saying to you, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. Though they saw my work. Those are the acts of God, right? They saw God's work. Verse 10, for 40 years I was grieved, God said, with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. Notice they saw His work, but they didn't know His ways. Verse 11, so God says, so I swore. Did you know God swears? Do you know that? Look, God says, so I swore in my wrath. Wrath is being ticked off. He said, I swore in my wrath because they didn't know my ways. They didn't open their heart to understand my ways. They saw my work, but they didn't open up. They were hard-hearted. They were rebellious. They didn't go after it. And because they didn't understand my ways, they didn't want to understand my ways, God said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You know what my rest was? The rest that God had promised them. When God says, my rest, He's saying, what I promised you. It's when you're working at something. You're saying, God, I'm believing You for something. You're standing in faith for something. And when you get it, you can go, ah, there it is. That's rest. So you're not contending anymore. You got there. Here God said, I swear you'll never get there. Whose people is He talking to? His own people. His own people. Isn't that right? Why? Because they didn't know His ways. They saw His works, but they didn't know His ways. Why? Because they didn't open their hearts. So we began to talk about this last week. We talked about how God's ways will never be completely exhausted. We can never get to the place where we can walk around and say, I understand all about God, because you won't. And as we go in this series, I told you last week, we talk about this as being God's ways, but I just up front told you we're not going to get to all of God's ways because of two reasons. Number one, we don't have time, and number two, I don't know all of God's ways. I'm in process just like you're in process. But I do know a couple of things about this that God has shown me and opened up to me in His Word that I want to share with you. And if you can learn these things, you'll be way down the road from where the average person is. We talked about how God's ways are taught through His Word. And we looked at some scripture along those lines. Out of the abundance of God's heart, His mouth spoke. That's a principle. God spoke His ways. And so if you want to find out God's ways, we go to His Word, the Bible, to find out His ways. And I'll get into that in just a little bit, in a little more detail. Now, we got to this passage, and I want to go back over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go back over there, because we were talking about how these words of God cannot just be understood or approached any way if you want to have effectiveness, if you want to have any success with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we want to begin again at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God." How many of you know when you speak, you're giving words? Isn't that right? That's what he's talking about. So he's saying, we give words, which are the wisdom of God. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. Everybody say hidden.
Hidden.
See, we're talking about hide and seek here. The hidden wisdom. Who hid this wisdom? God did. The hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, this is Old Testament, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God, Paul says, God has revealed those things that were not seen, and that were not heard. God has now revealed them to us. How? Through His Spirit. Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches a few things. Huh? For the Spirit searches most things. All things. Isn't that right? The Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. That means there is nothing that God knows that the Holy Spirit doesn't search out and know. And if He's the one teaching us, then we're on good ground. Isn't that right? Okay. It goes on to say, verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." I need you to say that with me. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Say it again. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Would you ever take somebody else's word over what the Holy Spirit said? Well, did you know that the Bible says that these words are Scripture, they're God-breathed, and 1 Peter says that these words here happened because human being, all men, were moved by the Holy Spirit to write these words. So these are all words of the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit knows about God. So why would you believe anybody else, no matter what degree they have,
right,
no matter how educated they are, who tell you, well, yeah, I know that the Bible said that and the Holy Spirit said that. Of course, they wouldn't say it like that, would they? Because they just put themselves in a corner. But, you know, what that really means is, it doesn't mean what it says. Let me help you understand this. One guy said, the Bible is so simple, you need help to misunderstand it. The problem is, there's a lot of help. Isn't that right? There's a lot of help. When you just read it, you see into these things. If, you got to qualify that, if you've got the Holy Spirit working with you. Okay, now, he goes on to say, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, listen closely now, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now, we got to stop there because we have to fill in part of the sentence that's missing. It's understood, but if you don't fill it in on purpose, you won't really catch what it's saying. Notice here, verse 13, it says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but you have to stop there and say, but, and you have to put those two words in words which the Holy Spirit teaches. Isn't that what it means? It doesn't say in words because it's understood by the way the sentence is structured. So again, let's put those two words in there. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in words which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, what is he talking about when he says things? What's the subject of the whole? He's talking about words that are being spoken. And a lot of times, people want to compare the spiritual words of God with natural things. And so, God, by His Spirit, well, didn't Jesus say, my words are spirit? They are spirit, okay? These are words not like a novel, not like a history book, not like any other textbook. These are different kinds of words. You got to understand. These are so accurate. They're full of accuracy. Every word is so specifically intended by God to be just like that. That when we see these things, if we try at all to compare these spiritual words with natural things, it instantly conflicts. Let me give you an example. We were talking last week about Peter walking on the water, right? And he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Jesus said, come. And he started doing it. Now, Jesus said, come. Peter stepped out of the boat based on one word from Jesus. Not a sentence. He didn't even get a phrase. You understand what I'm saying? Do you see the power? If we can believe what God says. He said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Well, Jesus kind of put him in a corner there because it really was Jesus, wasn't it? He said, if it's you, tell me to come. Well, it is me. And so Jesus said, come. And the Bible says Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked. Now, if he would have compared, you know, the other guys in the boat would have been saying, well, yes, okay, I heard him say come, but really what he means is, you understand? We're already comparing spiritual things with natural. What he means is after he gets in the boat, then come over to him and say, now, you walking on the water, Lord, high five right there, yeah. Right? You see what I'm saying? We instantly bring it into the natural because we already know there's a law of gravity and we know that water cannot hold up an individual. And so you put all that natural thinking together and you modify what the spiritual words said and meant. And so you're comparing spiritual things with natural laws and natural understanding and logic and reasoning. See? And here he says, no, you're not going to get it that way. The only way you're going to get it is to compare spiritual with spiritual. Because once you bring the natural into it, you're going to pull the spiritual right down to your level. And I told you about that one teacher that says, well, the reason why Peter was sinking was because God never intended for men to do what only God should be doing. Well, what did he do? See the spiritual and the natural? Only God should be doing that, right? When here Jesus said in John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, the works that I do, will you do also, and greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father. Well, I thought we weren't supposed to. See, you're comparing natural things. Well, why would somebody say that then? Because I've never walked on water. My experience says I've never done it. I've never seen anybody in my family do it. I've never even heard of anybody doing it other than Jesus. So therefore, since I've never heard, my ears have never heard, my eyes have never seen, I've never understood it. Therefore, it must not be for us. You understand what I'm saying? That is common Christianity today. If I haven't seen how it's going to happen, if I can't logically understand it based on my experience in education, and if the experts aren't agreeing with it, then I'd be dumb to agree with it. But let me tell you something. You're going to be limited to your own ways and not God's ways, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And so once again, look at it, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in words which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual words with spiritual interpretations, understanding. Or another thing you can do is compare spiritual words with spiritual words. Don't compare what the Word says to what happened to Grandma and discount what God said. Compare what the Word says to what else the Word says, to what else the Word says, to what else the Word says, and you'll find God's ways. You see what I mean? Because you're in the same category. But if you try to bring it down to your understanding of what happened to Grandma, you don't know what happened to Grandma. Yes, I do. She prayed and it didn't happen. You don't know what happened. Yes, I do. I know she prayed. Was she right? Yes, she was. How do you know? How do you know what all went on? You don't know. And so all of a sudden, you're so quick to say, what God said is wrong, Grandma's right. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so here's what we need to do. We need to learn to interpret our life based on the Word and not interpret the Word based on our life. You take what God said and you believe it, and you compare spiritual things with spiritual until you find God's ways, and then you interpret why life is happening the way that it is. But you don't take life and pull the Word down to the natural level and then expect God to move in a powerful way. It won't happen because you're comparing spiritual things with natural things. So notice again, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Their foolishness to him. Well, it is foolishness to the natural mind to try to get out of a boat and walk on water. In fact, I've seen people trying to do it. They said, well, if Jesus could do it, if Peter could, I could do it. And they go right to the bottom of the pool, right there. And somebody else standing there, see that. Good look at that. And they laugh. Because it is foolishness to the natural mind. Because they've proven over and over in their life, that can't work. That can't work. It's foolishness. It's against logic. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up financially to do what God told me to do. So therefore, if it doesn't add up financially, then God doesn't mean that. You see what I'm saying? God must not mean that because I can't figure out how it all works financially. So I pull what God says down into where it fits in my natural, logical way of life. But see, in that way, you're always going to stay in the boat. If you are a saved person, you'll go through your whole life, and inside you'll know that you're not reaching your potential. You'll know you were meant to soar with God. You cannot soar with God and walk in the natural. That's what everybody else is doing. What makes you different? What makes you different from the world if you're walking by logic? Nothing. Well, I go to church. All right. They're foolishness to him. Now notice this. Nor can he, doesn't have the ability to know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And this is what we talked about last week. God's Word and God's ways are spiritually seen into. Your mind will go tilt a little bit, or a lot. Your mind won't comprehend it because your mind is a reasoning agent. Your mind is set up to go by experience and to go by logic and to go by what people say, what the experts say. You're trained to do that in your mind. But your spirit, if you've received Jesus into your heart, your spirit can catch things at a whole different level where God lives. And you can begin to move on that level even if your mind doesn't exactly understand how. Let me give you an example. When I walk into a room and I need to turn the light on, I can reach over there and flip that switch and turn the light on because I have the faith that if I flip that switch on, that light will go on. Now, I may not be able to explain to you exactly how electricity works. I may not be able to explain to you how I just pay a bill every month and some company somewhere causes the bulb in my house to go on. I may not be able to explain how that all works and how it doesn't kill somebody in the process. You understand? But I know this, if I flip that switch on, that light goes on. And if it doesn't go on, I check that bulb. I replace it. You see what I mean? I can get something to work even if I don't understand it. Because I know the way. I know the way is you flip that switch on. You can get God to move in your life in powerful ways even if you don't understand logically and reasonably how that all works. Because you understand the way. It's the switch right there. See, you bring somebody that's never seen electricity, never been around, never heard of it, and you try to explain that, try to get them to, what? Flip that switch on, and the sun comes out. You can't get sun coming. Yeah, you can. You can get sun come out. Come on, flip that. See, they're gonna say, that can't happen. How does that happen? Right? You show them. Let me show you. Bam, right there. It happens. That's what Jesus did. He's walking on the water. And just like John 6:19 says, he's walking 3 or 4 miles out there to get to that boat. He's just walking out there. Well, you can't do that. But he just showed him, yes, you can. And not only could he, but Peter did too. Do you understand? See, Peter, in an instant, judged the word come without any knowledge or reasoning and stepped out on it before his mind had a chance to think about it. But once he got out there and he saw the wind and everything, he started thinking about it. And he started comparing the spiritual truth and the spiritual power that was happening based on that faith in the word come with the natural of wind and waves and water and everything. And instantly, he started thinking. Keep it in the spirit. Keep it in the spirit and just recognize it's okay if it doesn't make sense. Isn't that good news? Just say that to your neighbor right now. It's okay if it doesn't make sense. Come on, tell him. It's okay. All right, now notice this. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, Paul's saying, since when did you get smarter than God to where you can take what God said and say, well, it didn't really mean that, God, or that's not really what we're supposed to do. Oh, is that right? That's what God said. We need to get to the place where we say, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? Well, yeah, but you know, so-and-so said, well, what does the Word say? Yeah, but I was listening to this one guy. Yeah, but what does the Word say? What does the Word say? We need to listen to God more than we listen to anybody else. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Just go over to the right, just a few doors. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for this church at Ephesus. Verse 15 says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he starts praying this prayer. Verse 17, Paul says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, look back up. In verse 17, he says, I pray for you that you would be given from God the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation. Somebody says, it dawned on me. That's a revelation that's happening. He said, I pray that you would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, would be enlightened. The light bulb popped on, that you may know. In other words, if God doesn't reveal it to you, you won't know it. If God doesn't give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you won't see it. Because it cannot come from the natural. It doesn't matter how many times you sit in church. You cannot get it in your mind because it's not logical based on natural reasoning. It's something that God does way beyond our ability to comprehend. God moves in this other realm in the Spirit. And so Paul's saying, I'm praying for you that you'll get the Spirit of wisdom and be able to see into these things in the Spirit so that you can know what your calling is, so that you can know God's power. But how many people will sit in church all of their life and never experience the power of God flowing in their life and never even know what they're called to do? Why is that? Because they're still trying to hear it up here. They're trying to get it up here. Okay, what is it? They're looking, okay, explain it to me then. What is it? See, and they want to hear it right here. And God's saying, you can't get it there. Your peanut mind cannot handle the ways of God. But there is a part of you that can handle it. It's your spirit. Because your spirit has been born into God's family. It has the DNA of God. Your spirit, let me say it this way. Your spirit has a mind of its own. And the mind of your spirit can understand the mind of God's spirit. But with this natural mind, you've got to realize there's always going to be some kind of conflict because this natural mind is limited to natural ways of thinking. Your poor mind is limited to logic. Isn't that terrible? It's limited to logic. This started back in the book of Genesis, where how many trees were in the middle of the garden? Two trees. Most people just think about one. There were two trees in the middle of the garden. There was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said to them, you can eat freely of any of the trees in the whole garden. Eat anything you want. But God said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat it. For in the day that you eat of it, you'll surely die. Isn't that what God said? Now, that what tree was that? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if I was God, we're running into a problem already, aren't we? If I was God, I would not have created a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I would have created a tree of the knowledge of good. And I would have created a tree of the knowledge of evil and said, don't eat of the evil one, just eat of the good one. But notice God put the knowledge of good and evil on the same tree. And he said, don't eat any of that. You can eat that tree of life, though, right next to it. You notice how God puts the choice right there. And God says, no, I do not want you eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why is that? Why is that? Because let me tell you, good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil is the knowledge of right and wrong, pros and cons, what's good and bad. God says, I don't even want you eating off of that tree. I just want you to do what I tell you to do. And the serpent came up there and said, what's the first thing out of the devil's mouth? First thing, has God said? What's he questioning? The word. Has God said? And he said, you know, we can eat of anything, but we can't eat of this tree or touch it, she added, lest we die. And he said, you're not going to die. Listen to this. You're not going to die, for God knows. For God knows. What did he just say? He said, I know what God said. But God knows more than what he said. And you should act on what God knows instead of acting on what he said. Now, the Bible says in the latter days there'll be deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Let me tell you, this is one that started all the way back in the Garden of Eden, and we are fighting it today as hard as we've ever fought it in Christianity. And here's what it is. You don't pay, as a Christian, you don't pay so much attention to what God said. You pay more attention to what he knows. Let me give you an example. You're dealing with a situation and you're praying for something, praying over something, and you say, Lord, you said in your word such that. But Lord, if you decide not to do that, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't the Lord say Like, for example, Mark 16 says, these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Can you say that? So, Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that if it's your will, Lord, you'll do this. But, Lord, we know that you're a sovereign God. And we know that you know all things. And, Lord, you know if it's best to do this here. Now, we're going to get into this because, let me tell you, there are situations where God will not heal. You need to know that. Even though His Word says it, there are situations where it ain't going to happen. I don't care who prays. I don't care if you got, you know, like some people say, we've got people all over the world. I don't care how many people you have all over the world. I don't care if you have every color involved. I don't care if there's over a million. It doesn't matter if they go to church or they don't go to church. It doesn't matter if they scream night and day. You can hold a 24-hour prayer service. It doesn't matter what you do. It ain't going to happen. You know why? Because it's not in God's will for that to happen, because you're not postured and positioned the way that God said you need to be for you to be in a place for His promises to come to pass. And you can just take one part. That's why you have to compare spiritual things with spiritual and find, okay, this is what God said here, but did He say that everywhere? But let me tell you what the doctrine of demon is, and this is what I'm going to pick apart all series long. If it comes down to one doctrine that we're going to pick apart, it's this one. It's the one that says, yes, I know His Word says that, but you know, God knows. God knows what's going on. God knows what's best for us. And if He decides not to do what He promised for us, well, He knows best and I trust Him. Let me ask you a question. Can you trust somebody that you don't believe? Can you say, you know what, that guy's told me something before and it wasn't true, so I don't believe him. But I tell you what, I trust him. Can you do that? We do it in Christianity all the time, though. We look at the Word, we say, God promised this to us. And we say, well, you know, okay, yeah, I know that. Thank God for it. But you know, if it's not His will to do it, we trust Him. Yeah, but God said He would do it. Yeah, I know, but if He doesn't, we trust that, you know, what's going on? First of all, we're confused. Second of all, I talked to somebody that had gone through Bible college and seminary and education on these things and such. And I was talking to her, and she was explaining this thing to me. She said, well, you just got to know that, you know, we can't understand the words of God. So, wait a minute, you went all through Bible college, and now you're qualified to teach, and now you have been convinced that you can't understand it. Well, I tell you, who doesn't want to sit under you? Me. I'd like to sit under somebody that can understand what they're talking about, wouldn't you? And I said this to her. I said, you know what? I'll bet you have a hard time just reading your Bible every day, don't you? Yes. I said, because as you're reading it, you don't know if that's true, do you? Or you don't have any confidence that you could even hear from God through that, do you? No. I said, how about before you went to Bible college? Could you read it and receive from God and connect with Him? Yeah. She said, that's why I went. That's why I joined. Because I could just read my Bible and hear from God. And we were doing some things together. But in the process of somebody teaching me that you can't always depend on that, and there are so many different aspects to God that, you know, you just don't know what He's going to do. So you can read these promises and you just don't really see what I'm saying. Here's the lie. The lie is, I know God said, but you got to understand, God knows a lot more than He said. So don't act on what He said. Act in such a way that it's beyond what He said. And let me tell you something, God hates that. That's what got Adam and Eve kicked right out of the garden. God just wanted them to do what He said to do. I told you not to eat it. But she saw that it was good for food. See, she's comparing natural things with spiritual. She said it was desirable to make one wise. And so she took it. Eve was trying to do a good thing. The good's not good enough, though. And so good and evil are on the same tree, because here's why. Okay? You ever sat down and says, I need to know what God wants me to do. Let me list out the pros and cons. Well, that's wonderful. You can list out all the pros and cons. It could all be pros and no cons. And God may still be saying, but I don't want you to do it. Isn't that what happened to Eve? She saw that it was good for food. There's a pro. Desirable to make one wise. There's a pro. She listed out, I think, three different pros. No cons. And she ate it and died. Why? Because God said, don't. And here's why good and evil is on the same tree. Because it doesn't matter whether it's a good decision or a bad decision. If it's not the God decision, it's the wrong decision. Do you understand? If God didn't say it in His Word, then it's wrong. God wants us to learn to do what He said to do, not what He could be thinking. God just wants a people that says, I believe you. I believe your word. If you said it, I believe it. I'm getting out of the boat. If you say come, I'm coming. I don't care what John said. I don't care what James said. And I don't care what the person that studies physics to know whether or not this... It doesn't matter. If God says come, I can come. And somehow, some way, my feet are going to feel like they're walking on concrete, even though I can feel the moisture of the water. You understand what I'm saying? It's not supposed to make sense. If it makes sense to you, you're walking in logical ways and not God's ways, and you'll never have anybody come up and say, what in the world? How did that happen in your life? God is looking for a people who can move in such a way that the world looks and says, how'd you do that? How did you do that? Why did you and I invest in the same at the same time we got in and I lost everything and yours went up? How did you do that? And if you're just looking at all of the analysis, the stock analysis, and like everybody else is doing, you're basing your decisions on the same information that everybody else is basing theirs on. Don't expect the blessing of God. Because you're comparing spiritual things with natural things. You're just based on natural knowledge. See? That's the lie from the very beginning. Has God really said, well, you know what, but God really knows what's best for you. And God knows if you do eat, it'll be better. God knows that. Then if God knows that, then why did He say this? And that's happening in Christianity all the time today. And we're going to pick that apart. Now, let's see. Let's go over now to Proverbs chapter 25. I want to get into this hide and seek thing. I want to show this to you. Three scriptures. How many of you know the Bible says in John 14, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things. Isn't that right? Yeah. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 16, 13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will do it. Now, Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse 2. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. It's the glory of God to do what? Conceal it. God's wisdom is not out there for everybody to see plainly. It is hidden. God hides His wisdom. God hides His ways. Isn't that interesting? God's ways. Now, God's acts are out there for everybody to see. The children of Israel all saw His acts, but only Moses saw the ways. Where was Moses? He kept going up on that mountain. He's looking for something. Are you looking for something? Because you could just step back and kind of watch. Well, let's just see what happens. Let's just check it out. Go ahead. That's all you'll see is His acts. That's all you'll see is the works. But God will end up looking at you and saying, I swear you'll never get My promise. You're playing it safe. You're playing it logical. You're not pressing in. You're not opening your heart. You're not saying, God, I want You. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Now, look over at the second chapter of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Beginning with the first verse, My son, if you receive My words and treasure My commands within you. Treasure. Do you know what that means? Value. Hold as precious. My son, if you receive My words and treasure My commands within you, so that you incline, coerce your ear to wisdom and apply your heart. Don't just sit there. apply your heart. Put pressure there to understanding. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out. If you cry out for discernment. Anybody know what crying out means? Not waiting. I'm crying out. I've done that with God many times. If you cry out, God, I want to know You. Lord, I want to understand Your ways. Lord, I want You to move in my life. I want to walk with You. I want to please You, God. Speak to me. Show me. Open my eyes. Help me to see the way You see. If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice, lift up your voice. You know, when people get desperate, I've noticed this. When people get desperate, they get louder. That doesn't mean when you're loud that you got it all made. I'm just saying, I've just noticed that even reserved people, when they get desperate, forget about being reserved. And they just need help. I've noticed this about people when they want God. A lot of people are, you know, they don't want to do anything. Because somebody might look and say, look at them, really, you know. They really believe this. They're all into it and everything. Look at that. Somebody might say something about them. But I notice when people get desperate for God, they forget about all of that. You understand? They forget all or are desperate for anything. Some emergency's happening. Somebody really reserved, all of a sudden screaming and yelling, somebody help me. And God's saying here, you know what, son, daughter, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, let me know you really want it. God has hidden it, see? If you'll do that, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, how hard do you work for money? How much time do you spend and invest into making money? God said, if you'll go after me and my ways, my wisdom like that, son, then you will understand. Then you will understand. You want to know God's timetable? That's when. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. See there? For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores it up. He's hiding it. He's got it all saved up. He stores up wisdom, sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When? When you treasure this. When it becomes a big deal in your life, and it's not something you just kind of give a little bit of attention to, but when it becomes important to you and you're calling out to God. Do you ever lift up your voice to God outside of church? Do you ever just in your home just call out and say, God, I love You. Lord, I need You. Speak to me, God. Show me Your ways. Do you ever just cry out, lift up your voice, say, God, I love You. I bless You today, Lord. Do you ever do that? Because if you don't expect anything. He said, if you do. If you do. What's going on? Hide and seek. That's what. Hide and seek. God could just come down and say, let me just drop this in on you. It's not going to happen. You know who God drops it on? He drops it on people that are looking. They're searching. They're seeking. They're pressing in. God, I want to get this, Lord. Lord, I want to see into Your ways. I want to see what the natural mind can't see. I want You to open my eyes to it, just like Paul prayed. Pray that Ephesian prayer over yourself. Lord, I pray that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that You would open the eyes of my understanding, that I'd be enlightened to understand Your calling and Your power and so on and so forth. Pray that over yourself. Call out to God. God said, if you do that, I'll show it to you. What does that mean? If you don't, I won't. Look over at Jeremiah. Popular text. But I want to show it to you. Jeremiah chapter 29. You remember this. But let me show you hide and seek in this passage. Jeremiah chapter 29. Look at verse 11. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Now notice verse 12. God's talking. Then you will call upon me. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And go and pray. What does that mean? When you stop just praying and say, when I can do something else, I choose not to because you're important to me. God says, then you'll call on me and you'll go and pray to me. Let me tell you something about God. He has feelings. Do you have feelings? You ever get hurt? You ever get angry? You ever get sad? You ever get happy? Do you know why you do? Do you know why you have those emotions? Because you were created in God's image according to His likeness. And a lot of people think God's more like a computer. And He's not. God is so full of emotion. He's so full of feeling. God loves to be loved. God seeks to be sought. God likes to be liked. He enjoys being enjoyed. He feels these things. See, He's a real person. He's a real person. And God's speaking to us here from His heart. And He's saying, then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Look at verse 13. And you will seek me and find me. That's hide and seek right there. Isn't that right? You will seek me and find me. And God's going to tell us exactly when we're going to find Him. Some of you need to find God right now. There are things going on in your life. You need to find God. I'm going to tell you right now exactly when you're going to find Him. Look what He says. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you don't hold anything back. When you're not, well, I'll seek a little bit of God, but I'm going to walk a little in the natural too. God says, you're not ready then. You're not ready. They're going to hang on to plan B, right? Just in case you don't find anything. Just in case God doesn't come through and He doesn't answer you. God says, no, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Look at that last part. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. That's hide and seek. You know what God, let me tell you about God's ways. He doesn't want you to know them unless you really want to. He hides them from you. Somebody said, well, we're Christians. Yes, He hides them from Christians. God's talking to His people here. This is not God writing to the Edomites. This is not God writing to the Egyptians or the Babylonians. This is God writing to His people. And God says, I will, in fact, look at it. I will be found by you, says the Lord, verse 14, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. Talking to His people, where I have driven you. God says, yes, I drove you out because you were doing wrong. But you know what? If you seek me, if you go after me, I'll listen to you. I'll be found by you, and I'll bring you back from all of that mess that you were in. I'll bring you all back, and I'll give you those things I promised. The rest. See what I'm saying? I'll do it. When? When you search for me with all your heart. But if you just keep going on with your schedule, you don't have any time. Slip me in there when you don't have anything better to do. Turn the volume down on commercials so you can pray. Hide and seek. Let me tell you something. God's hiding. But He's desperate to be found. There's no enjoyment in God with hiding. The only enjoyment is that one day you'll get desperate enough to really seek Him. And when you find Him, that's when His enjoyment comes and that's when your enjoyment comes. But as long as you're just playing it safe, just kind of moping along through your Christianity, like anybody else in the world is moping along through their hobby or moping along through their interest, but it doesn't become all of your heart, it doesn't become passionate, then God doesn't let you find His ways. And you'll continue to walk in the natural and stay in the boat. But God's power doesn't follow. God really got on Job's friends at the end of Job. He really got on Job's friends. In fact, look at it quickly. Job, right before Psalm. Job 42, last chapter, verse 7. Let me tell you something. Don't judge God till you find Him. If you hadn't seen into God's ways, you haven't found Him, you don't understand God's ways, then shut up. Because it's not going to go well with you for you to tell people, well, here's what God's doing. Oh, I know what God's doing. And you're just guessing what God's doing. Because God takes that as judging Him. You're saying, this is the way God works, when you don't know how God works. You haven't been seeking God. You haven't understood His Word. And you're just saying, well, I can see how the Lord did this, and I can see, well, you know what, yeah, I can see if God would have healed me, then this, but God didn't heal me, and here's why. And you start just going, and it sounds spiritual, sounds holy and everything, but let me tell you something, God hates that. Because you're judging Him, and you don't even know. Look at these guys here, Job chapter 42, verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you. Let me say it a different way. I'm ticked at you. And your two friends, he said. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Verse 8, now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. You be careful when you start saying, God did this and God did that, and here's the reason God did this, and here's the reason He didn't do that. You be careful. You be careful. God doesn't like people speaking about Him and judging what He does and what He doesn't do when they're not right. God doesn't like that. God said in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 17, God said, you've wearied me with your words. And he quotes them. He said, you've said everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. God says, that wearies me. Malachi 3, 13 and 14, God says, your words have been harsh against me. He said, you've even said it's useless to serve God. I've heard Christians say that. Well, I've heard Christians say, you know, you can do all the right things. You can be righteous and do everything right that God tells you to do, and He still might not do what He promised you. It's useless. In other words, it's useless to serve God, because it doesn't mean that God's going to keep His promises just because you're doing the right things. And some of you say, I've never said that. Oh, yeah, we have. Well, I've done all I can do. Now it's just up to God. Really? You've done everything that God has told you to do? You've straightened out all those areas that God's asked you to straighten out? You see what I'm talking about? And yet, most of the time, God has been dealing with different people to do different things, and they won't do it. They won't change. They won't get in line with God. They ignore Him. They act like He didn't say it. They act like they forgot what He said. And they just keep plugging along with their life, and they say, well, you know what? It's up to God. It's up to God. I'm going to show you something about David. Turn over to chapter 25. David was a man after what? After God's own heart. Psalm. Not Job. Psalm 25. Let me show you why David was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 25. Look at verse 2. Well, start at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Isn't that what we just read in Proverbs? O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Verse 4. Show me your ways. What is he doing? He's calling. He's lifting up his voice. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, or you are the God of my salvation. Oh, on you I wait on the way in the car to work. You understand? How many of you know what I'm talking about, huh? And I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm talking to you. Do you seek Him? Do you yearn for Him? Is it the love of your life to know Him? To know His ways? Or would it just be convenient if you could just invest enough into it to get His power to move, to make your life more convenient than it is? or do you want him? Here's David. Show me your ways, O Lord. How many of you believe that the reason David wrote this is because he knew, see up at the top says the Psalm of David. Huh? How many of you believe the reason he wrote this is because he knew this was going to be in the Bible and he thought that'll sound good. He didn't have a clue, did he? He didn't have a clue. You know what he's doing? He's just trying to find his God. Help me. Show me. I want to know you. I want to know how you like me to be so that I can be that way and please you. See? Did David understand the ways of God? Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Not completely. Nobody can. But did he understand the ways of God? Yeah, you can't be a man after God's own heart if you don't understand God's ways. You can't guess based on logic and reason. You're going to have to see into this thing. You're going to have to see into this thing. Now, let me close with this. Psalm 18. Just flip right over there. I'm going to show you where David, King David, just separated himself from all of this junk pop theology that we're dealing with right now that says you could do everything right and you still don't know if God's going to keep his word. Because, see, God knows, you know, he knows what's best for you, and we just read the word just as, you know, to comfort our hearts, but you really can never depend on it. Like Gil taught several weeks ago, you can't really just lean back into God and know that what he said in his word he's going to do. You really don't know. And so you just say, well, I just trust the Lord. We'll plan for both to happen. God to do it and God to not. Because you just never know what God's going to do. The Lord works in mysterious ways. You understand? I want you to notice something about David. Psalm 18. David didn't buy that. David seemed to think that God was faithful to his word, but the problem was on our part. Psalm 18. Look at look at the beginning. What does it say? No, look before verse 1. To the chief musician. Did you know that's part of the word too? To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Now let's come down to verse 20. The Lord rewarded me according to what he saw best for me. Huh? The Lord rewarded me according to his knowledge, according to his infinite wisdom, according to his sovereignty. Now, what did David say? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. In other words, David said, let me tell you how this works. Let me tell you what I've learned from God. The Lord blesses me based on me. Because God is good. God is love. God is a blesser. God is faithful. But I limit God by my ways. The Lord The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. With the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but bring down the haughty or the prideful looks. You will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who what? Who trust in him. Here's what David says. David says, it's not whether God decides to or doesn't decide to. It's not in his sovereignty. It's not according to His knowledge. It's according to His Word. And if I will get myself in line with His Word and in His ways, the Lord will do for me exactly what He said. To the pure, He'll become pure. To the merciful, He'll become merciful. According to the cleanness of my hands, God will reward me. You know what that tells us? That says when God is not moving in His power the way that He promised to move in His power, it's because you are not moving in God's ways. And I'm not moving in God's ways. But if we'll begin to move in God's ways, God will begin to move in His power and do exactly what He promised to do. Can you see that? You want to know why David was a man after God's own heart? Because he didn't look in the face of God and say, "You promised it to me, and I did everything right, and You still didn't give it to me. But you know what, Lord? I trust You because You're God." God hates that. God says, "You're calling me a liar. You're saying I'm unfaithful. You're saying I didn't bring My promise to pass because of me. You were doing right, but it was me that didn't do right." God hates that. God said He's a man after My own heart because He judges me faithful. And He understood that when My promise didn't come to pass, it was because He wasn't in a position to receive My promise because His hands weren't clean. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it done. You understand? God's ways. Let's all stand. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands and just ask God. Say, "Lord, I want to know." Come on, cry out for discernment. "Lord, I want to know. I want to know Your ways. I want to know Your truth, Your Word, Lord. Show me, God. Show me, Lord. I want to know." We want to know, God. We want to know, God, Your ways. Show us, O God. We don't want to walk in the natural, Lord. We want to walk in the Spirit. Come on. Come on. Go ahead. If you can't cry out here, you'll never do it anywhere else. Lord, show us, God. Open our eyes to these things, O Lord. Show us how to walk on water, God. Show us how to walk in Your power, in Your fullness, to please You, God, and bless You. Everybody say this. Say, "Father God, I'm asking You now to open up my spiritual eyes to see Your ways, to see Your Word. I declare in Jesus' name, I can do this. I can see it. I seek You, and I will find You. I am relentless. I will not stop. Day or night, I'll call on Your name until I found You, until I understand Your ways, Your Word, and walk on the water that You call me to walk on. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Now I want you to do this right now. Okay, go ahead, clap. Go ahead, you can do it. Thank God. I want you to look at somebody right now that you didn't come with. This is so uncomfortable. Just look at him right now and say, "I'm going to find some of God this week." Come on, tell somebody right now, "I'm going to find some of God this week." God bless you, and you have a great night.